So good on this first day of the week to be with those of like precious faith as we come together to worship God in spirit and in truth. And I pray, hopefully, the things said in this lesson will help each of us. However, before I go into my lesson this morning, I have to go into a blunder that I said last week. I knew I said something wrong when I looked over to my son and he was smiling. And I had to keep on going wondering, what's he smiling about? Well, the error that I had made, Achan did not steady the ark. It was not Achan. Achan is the one who took of the accursed thing in the book of Joshua. It was Uzzah, 2 Samuel 5. It was Uzzah who steadied the ark. So I want to apologize for that misstatement. It was wrong. There's no excuse. I should have known that. I'm going to blame my age. That's the one thing I can do as I get older. That my age kind of gave me away that time, but I wanted to correct that. So I'm like, well, it's not a big matter. Well, true and false. It's not a big matter because you knew I was just being silly. But the fact is, I wanted to correct that problem to let you know I do know something about the Old Testament, and I don't have those things mixed up. So I begin with that. Now, the next point, I want to ask you a question, and as I ask questions, I don't expect any type of verbal response. But the question is this: when was the last time you thought about the day of the Lord? Think about it now. When was the last time you thought about the day of the Lord? And we know that's the day of judgment when the Lord comes back. When's the last time you thought about that? You see, when we talk about the day of the Lord, we've got a lot of misunderstanding concerning that. We've got those on one side who want to go to the Word of God and misuse the Word of God to say, well, we're getting close because look at these things. And they misuse passages to say, here's how we've determined. We're going to find out there's no way to determine. That's one error. Another error that can be quite as bad is that we never think about the day of the Lord. And that can be scary too. So this morning, for a short period of time, we're going to talk about the day of the Lord. Now, there's many different ways we could have gone about it, but we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to get our lesson from those first 11 verses. Now, before we go to 1 Thessalonians 5, and I know you've studied Thessalonians many times, but in chapter 4, you remember Paul is correcting a problem because the Thessalonians are worried, hey, some people have died and the Lord hasn't come back. What's going to happen to them? And he promises them that they're going to have the same reward as you and I are going to have. They were worried because the Lord hadn't come and they died. Did they miss the reward? And in the fourth chapter, he clearly tells them, no, they did not miss the reward. They will meet the Lord in the air. Then he goes into chapter 5, and remember, chapter divisions were put forth by men. Now, they're good for us to remember things, but really, it's still a continuation of what was taught in chapter 4. So let's just read chapter 5 and then go over some of the things. So I'm going to read those 11 verses. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version, and then I'm going to just highlight a few of the things that helps me as we think about the day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. For when they say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, and as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the sons of light, the sons of the day. We are not the son, not of night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at the night, and those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. It's interesting, And verse 11, comfort one another. That's the same thing instead in verse 18 of chapter 4, to comfort one another. So let's talk about the day of the Lord. Let's highlight a few things about the day of the Lord from this text. First of all, 1 Thessalonians 5:2, the day of the Lord is unknown. Anyone comes to tell you, well, I know because of this, what they're telling you, they don't know. Because the day of the Lord is going to be like a thief in the night. Now, it's not saying the Lord's a thief, but it's parallel to a thief in the night. When a thief comes to rob you, he doesn't send a warning ahead of time. Years ago, my mom and I were robbed, and it's quite unnerving to come home and see your house ransacked. And you didn't know it. It took you completely unexpected. And that's why I believe the phrase, as a thief in the night, it's going to be unexpected. Now, there's other passages that talk about that. Let's go to a few of them. As we talk about that, let's go to Matthew chapter 24. And Matthew chapter 24, and read this. Now, as you're turning to Matthew chapter 24, I'm sure you're familiar that many people misuse the first 34 verses. The first 34 verses of Matthew chapter 24, and we don't have time to go into detail on that this morning, but the first 34 verses are speaking of the destruction of Jerusalem. Now, what happens today with some religious leaders today, they'll say, well, see all the wars, see the famine, see this, and they're going to take you to Matthew 24. That's not talking about the day of the Lord, the first 34 verses. The first 34 verses are speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem, which happened in 70 AD. Remember, if you go in the beginning of Matthew 24, they had just left the temple, and his disciples, his 12 chosen, were enamored with the temple. That was kind of the headquarters. That was the heartbeat of Jewish system. And Jesus states, not one stone is going to be left upon another. And then he goes and explains as to this temple that you see, this building, this structure is going to be destroyed. And he gives some signs to when that would be. When you see these things, that's when that's going to happen. Now, in my understanding, you had basically from Matthew's account three questions, and that is, I believe the disciples concluded, remember these were Jews, that, well, when that happens, that's got to be the end of time. And of course, that wasn't the end of time. That was the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, verse 34. This generation shall not pass until these things come to pass. So the first 34 verses speaking about the destruction of Jerusalem. But from verse 36 through chapter 25, it is my understanding, he now talks about the end of time. Because in my understanding, the disciples, the Jews, thought, well, when this temple is destroyed, it must be going to be the end of time. Which, no, it's not. It's going to be the destruction of the temple. But at the end of time, no warnings are going to be given. And then you have Matthew 24, verse 36 through 44. At states, verse 36, but of that then hour knoweth no one, not even the angel of heaven, but my Father in heaven, my Father only. Then he goes to the days of Noah. When you go back and read about Noah, as Noah's preparing for the ark, nobody paid attention to him, correct? And of course, they were taken by surprise when the flood came. But dropping down for time's sake, he goes and talks about two women and two men. And it's not talking about 50% salvation here. What is speaking that there would be some that would be ready and there would be others who would not be ready. It's not talking about 50% being saved. And the summation is found in verse 44. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour. Listen, you do not expect. Did your Bible say that? He's going to come when we least expect it as a society. Now, God's children will expect it because we live as if the day of the Lord is coming. But society will not be looking for the day of the Lord. He's going to come unexpected in a time which is totally unexpected. Again, as we talk about the day of the Lord, in Matthew 25, 13. In Matthew 25, up to verse 13, you had the parable of the five wise and five foolish virgins. Again, not talking about 50% salvation, but talking about those who were prepared and those who were not prepared. And he concludes in verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man is coming. Now, let's go back to my initial question this morning. When's the last time you thought about the day of the Lord? You see, we kind of slip up sometimes, don't we? We don't think about that. But he could come in our lifetime. Now, don't leave here saying, the preacher said he's coming in our lifetime. I didn't say that. I said he could come in our lifetime. He could come tomorrow. He could come next week. He could come in another 1,000 years. I don't know. But what I'm understanding this to mean is we don't have any warnings to when this day, when this final day comes. Therefore, we should live each day as if it is. We should be prepared. Because you see, the day of the Lord is a day of judgment. And 2 Peter chapter 3, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 11. And here's where I have to confess, we all can become a little bit careless that we don't think of the day of the Lord. Again, not thinking that we should be worried, but thinking that, am I living in such a way that if the Lord came today, would I be ready? Would I have his blood covering me for my sins that I can have a home? But as we look at 2 Peter chapter 3, let's look at those verses, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Pretty clear, isn't it? Day of the Lord is going to be what? It's going to be a day of judgment. When the day of the Lord comes, that's going to be the end of this world. That's it. It's over. Could it come in my lifetime? Yes. Will it come in my lifetime? I don't know. I don't know. But I should live as if it might, so that I would be prepared. Why? Verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in holy conduct and godliness? You see, what happens is we get so preoccupied in living, and we realize people have misused the day of the Lord and have set dates, and the date has come and gone, that we don't even think of the day of the Lord. Last time you thought about the day of the Lord. Could come at any time. Could come in my lifetime. Maybe, maybe not, but I need to be prepared. The day of the Lord, as we look at 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3, there's going to be a lot of unprepared people. And a lot of those unprepared people are going to be religious people. They're religiously unprepared. They say peace and safety simply because they have religion. Simply by having religion doesn't make that it's going to be okay for the day of the Lord. We've got to be careful we're doing things the Lord's way. Not the Church of Christ way, the Lord's way. The doctrine of Christ. Now, I'm happy I'm a member of the Lord's church that is identified with a sign the Church of Christ meets here. But it's the Lord's way. I've got to make sure that I'm living in harmony with his will so when that day comes, I'm not unprepared. Now let's look at a few passages that warns us that we shouldn't be unprepared. In Hebrews chapter 2, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Hebrews chapter 2. We find here the Hebrew writer stating something so simple, so obvious, and yet so many times people just kind of read over this. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed by those who heard him? Now, before our services this morning, Brother Wisdom had up there, I believe he's the one who does that first part, but he had up there John 3:16 and the greatest love and the greatest sacrifice. That's what we're talking about here. How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Well, the answer is simple. You won't. You and I won't escape. God's not going to turn the blind eye to those who ignore him giving his son to die for our sins. Now, he did it because he loved us, but if we just kind of slough that off, how are we going to escape? We're not. When the day of the Lord comes, if you're not prepared, if you've ignored the Lord, you're in trouble. If I ignore the Lord, I'm in trouble. And it's not that God wants us to go to hell. He sent his son so that we can have eternal life. But how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We're not going to escape that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, turn with me if you will to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now he's writing to Christians here. Listen to what he states here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18. For not he who commands himself is approved, but who the Lord commends. A lot of religious people commend themselves. Well, God's not going to send me away on that day because I'm religious. I've done this, I've done that, I've done that. No, that's not how we go by. What you're doing is you're commending yourself. I remember some years ago when a number of preachers went to Rice Lake, Wisconsin, and we were knocking on doors to invite them to a service. And there ran many responses. Well, I have my religion. You ever have people like that? I have my religion. Is it possible, perhaps, your religion may be wrong? You see, I had my religion, but my religion wasn't in harmony with the truth. It's not he who commends himself. You know, before I became a Christian, guess what? I thought I was a Christian. I thought I was a Lutheran Christian, but I thought I was a Christian. I commended myself. A lot of people commend themselves because they're religious. And there's a lot of good religious people, but you're not saved being religious. You're saved by being righteous according to God's standard of righteousness. And that's why it says, not he who commends himself, but whom the Lord commends. Now, that's a good question. Who does the Lord commend? Well, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, here's what we have. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test your own selves. Do you not know your own self that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you be disqualified? Look at what it says in verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in what? The faith. Where does the faith come from? John 17. Faith comes from the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if I take that as the answer, I examine myself by this word. And therefore, instead of commending myself, I need to go to his word and examine myself to see if my life is in harmony with this book. Are there going to be a lot of people who are religious who are unprepared for the day of the Lord? And the answer is yes. Are there going to be some in the Lord's church who are going to be unprepared for the day of the Lord? And the answer is yes. Because they're commending themselves instead of examining themselves. It's not that we give our own stamp of approval by tapping ourselves on the shoulder. It's by what does God's word have to say. And then here's a passage you seldom hear. You know, if I had a bumper sticker, this is probably what I would use for a bumper sticker. I don't use bumper stickers because, number one, I have a hard enough time driving without being focused to the bumper sticker. But if I had a bumper sticker, this might be the sticker I would use. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 7, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'm sorry. If you got chapter 7, you got too many chapters. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, look at verses 7 through 10. A lot of people don't see this passage here. Very important passage as we talk about the day of the Lord. Verse 7, and give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus himself is revealed from heaven. Okay, what are we talking about? Revealed himself from heaven. We're talking about the day of the Lord, right? Verse 7. With his mighty angels. So when the day of the Lord comes, he's going to be revealed from heaven with his angels. I believe that to be true. Now look at verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and those who do not what? Obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Let's stop and just think about that for a moment. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Would you agree with me that's more serious than your 401k? Would you agree that's more serious than what you have for retirement? Because what we're dealing with here is eternity. And when is this going to happen? On the day of the Lord. He's going to come with his mighty angels. There's going to be those who don't know God. They're in trouble. There's going to be those who don't obey God. They're in trouble. Oh, but let's keep on reading. Because it goes on to state, verse 10, when he comes in that day, what day? The day of the Lord, to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. So it's a bad day and it's a good day. It's a bad day for those who are unprepared. It's a good day for those who are prepared. And prepared doesn't simply mean coming to services, although that's a part of it. But the day of the Lord is going to come. I don't know when. You say, it must be coming soon. Look how bad it is. It's bad. But it could be another 1,000 years, but that doesn't matter. I better live as if it's going to come today, so I'm prepared. And you need to do the same. Remember, the day of the Lord shouldn't overtake us, because we're not children of darkness. We're to be children of light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Go back to 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 and 5. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Okay, he's going to come as a thief as in the night, but you're not going to be overtaken as a thief in the night, because what? You're going to be prepared. You're children of light. You're living as if God would want you to live, thinking he might come in that very day. Let me ask you this. Would you do anything different today if you knew assuredly he's coming tomorrow? Now, again, I don't know if he's coming tomorrow, but if you knew that, and if you say yes, then do it. Do what's ever necessary for the day of the Lord. You're children of light. Live like it. That's what he's telling us. Remember, God called us into light. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Listen to what it tells us here in verse 9. It says, but you, talking to Christians here, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Notice, we were called out of darkness into his light, right? That's how we became of the daylight and not the night. So God calls, okay? Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. How does God call? He does not call by some special feeling, better felt, but unexplainable. Now, a lot of people look at it that way. Well, God just overwhelmed me. I got this real good feeling, Chuck. No, that's not how God calls. God's not a respecter of persons. Book, chapter, and verse. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, to which he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. How were they called? By the gospel. That goes along with Romans 1:16, does it not? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of what? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? It is the power of who? It's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So how does God call? He calls by the gospel. Called out of darkness. Darkness of sin. Called out of darkness into his marvelous light. How? Through the preaching and responding to the gospel. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is the beauty part. The Bible explains itself. Verse 13, it states this. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as in truth, the word of God, okay, the gospel, which also effectually works in you who believe. Remember in Acts chapter 2, as they were pricked in the heart, what did they hear when they were pricked in the heart? They heard the gospel, right? And about 3,000, Acts 2, 41, about 3,000 responded favorably. When they asked, what shall we do? They responded and being baptized in remission of their sins, and they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and the prayers. So now, we're not of the night, we're of the day, because we responded to the gospel call. Well, after we've initially responded to the gospel call, we need to understand this. We need to walk as children of light. In Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. Now again, don't misunderstand. I'm glad you're here this morning. And they meet Sunday night, and if you're a member here, they want you to be here tonight. But being here is not an end of itself. That's just the beginning. Well, coming together with brethren is a time where we can worship and praise God, and where we grow in the grace and knowledge of God to handle the ways of the world, to let our light so shine when we're in the world. But notice, we're to be children of light. It goes beyond what's within this room. It goes beyond on how we live daily. Verse 8 through 11, chapter 5. For you were once darkness, but now are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable. Oh, how can I walk as children of light? Verse 10. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. How do I find out what's acceptable to the Lord? Break open the bread of life. Know what God's word has to say. You're not going to find out what's acceptable without going to this book. It goes on, verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather do what? Expose them. How do I expose them? I live as a light. I live differently. I live in harmony to God's will. I walk as a children of light. I'm looking for the Lord to come. I'm excited for the Lord to come. I can't wait for the Lord to come, even though he might not come in my lifetime. But I should be living my life as if he is, so that when I do die, I'll be prepared also. Because see, that's the second point. Even if he doesn't come in my lifetime, I'm going to die. Will I be in Christ? Will I be a son of light? I'm to put on the armor of light, Romans chapter 13. See, we're children of light. Well, being children of light is not just some statement. It's an action. In Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. You see, one thing about my brother in the first century is they anticipated he was going to come in the first century. You'd hear them say, Lord Jesus, come. When's the last time you said, Lord Jesus, come? When's the last time I've said, Lord Jesus, come? Here's how we'd say it today. Lord Jesus, come, but not today. Well, no, that's not how they said it. Just Lord Jesus, come. They're prepared. They're ready. They're ready to go to that which is better, the day of the Lord. It's coming. But remember, his time frame is not my time frame. And Romans 13, verse 11. And this knowing the time now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us. Notice the phrase, let us. That's something we're to do. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Let us. In other words, live in such a way that you have the armor of light on you, because you don't know when the day of the Lord's going to come. When the day God comes and the Lord comes with his mighty angels, when you hear that sound, when you hear that trumpet, you're not prepared, you're in trouble. No place you're going to hide. No place I'm going to hide. And he is coming. I truly believe that. If I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here this morning. If I believed that this was just a fairy tale, I'd live the way my flesh would want me to live instead of live God's way. But I know there's a God in heaven. I know there's a Christ who died for me, and I know he's coming back. Then we need to live like it. Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. We have recorded for us here in Philippians chapter 2. When's the last time you thought about the day of the Lord? I'll be honest with you. When I prepared this lesson, when I asked myself this question, I was ashamed. I didn't think about it as much as I should. So I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just saying it's something kind of we put at the back of our mind. We don't think about it. We should be, because it's going to help us live right. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputings. Why is that? That you might be blameless and harmless, the children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. What's going to convert people? The power of God's word. What's going to get them to come to God's word? Your life and my life. They're going to see it in us. They're going to see that we have something that they don't have. They're going to see that we walk by a higher standard. They're going to see we truly believe what the Bible says, and I'm going to live like it. Because I want to be ready for the day of the Lord. I don't know when it's coming. And if you know, you're going to have be hard-pressed to show me from the Scriptures. Because it's unknown to man. So we need to live like it. As I said, the day of the Lord, verse 6, let us not sleep as others do. Now that sleep is not talking about physically sleep. That's spiritually being asleep. Let us not sleep as others do. Now physical sleep, we gained another hour. I don't like this new time zone, but the country doesn't ask me my opinion. You say you got another hour of sleep. Not when you're older. That don't work that way. Because your body has a clock. And your body clock, I got up and it said 5 o'clock. Wait a minute, I don't want to get up at 5 o'clock. Well, because my body says, no, it's not 5 o'clock, it's 6 o'clock. But now my body says it's 5 o'clock. You see, so our physical body does tricks to us like that. But that's talking about spiritual sleep. Don't be sleeping. Be awake. Watch. Watchful and sober. Now, sober could mean not being involved in alcohol, but I don't think it's limited to that. I mean, it's soundness of mind, which would include that, but to be sound of mind, to be self-controlled. In other words, I just can't go on a binge doing whatever I want because it could catch us if we're not careful. Why? The day of the Lord's coming, people. We know that. Lord Jesus, come. And then, of course, not only to watch and be sober, in verse 8, it says, let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith. Where does faith come from? God's word. And of love, and a helmet, the hope of salvation. You see that last point? The hope of salvation. The day of the Lord is not scary to us. Because Jesus made a way that we can look forward to it. You see, as he closes in 1 Thessalonians, it's so interesting. In 1 Thessalonians, he closes on the confidence. He said, okay, let's talk about this day of the Lord. First of all, don't be worried someone's already died. They're not going to miss out. Second of all, you don't know when it's going to be, so live like it. He may come in your lifetime. Third of all, don't be afraid. Because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, listen to what it says in verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when that day comes, I don't have to be worried because the blood of Christ is covering me and I'm living like it. I get to go home with him because of the blood of Jesus Christ and I'm living like it. This is not a day of wrath. It's a day of wrath to those who know not God. It's a day of wrath to those who do not obey the gospel. But if I know God and I've obeyed the gospel and I'm living like it, it's going to be a day of salvation. I'm going to get to be with God. I'm going to get to be with his son. I'm going to get to be with the righteous who have gone on before me. And perhaps I'm going to get to question some things that have been in my mind on Old Testament prophets and other things that I don't have the answer to. Not that it's going to be relevant then, but maybe I can ask those questions and get them cleared up in my mind. How wonderful that's going to be. To be in the presence of God. Goes on to state, as we read verses 9 through 11 in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, together we should live together with him. I'll be with the Lord. Can you imagine that? Now, those of us who like sports, I may have brought this up before, but this sticks in my mind. Many years ago when I lived in Illinois, my sister-in-law gave my son and I tickets to the Chicago Bulls when you had Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and the team. They were winning year after year. You couldn't get tickets. Not only did we get tickets, we got tickets in the skybox. We were big executives. We got to go in and... Oh, how exciting that was. In fact, we were so excited, we were dumb. We ate none of the food that was there. It was all free, and I mean there was plenty of it. and plenty desserts. But my son and I were so overwhelmed being in Bull Stadium, being amongst the champions, being amongst the what we consider the greatest ball players of all time. We couldn't, there was no need to eat food. The need was to watch the game. Guess what? They're nothing but mortals, human beings. They're nothing more than humans like us, except they have a talent in basketball. That's what they have. I'm going to get to be with the Lord. You're going to get to be with the Lord. I tell you what, if that doesn't excite you, I don't know what will. I get to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, I don't know what that all entails, but just because he taught me that, I'm excited. It's not going to be like Disney World. It's not going to be like a Bulls game. I'm going to get to be with the Lord when that day comes. If I'm living like I should. As we close, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Glad I could be with you this morning. I hope this lesson will help you as it's helped me. Guess what I've started doing every single day now? I got a, might be the day of the Lord. Why? Because I prepared a lesson about the day of the Lord. Now, I hope I remember that 6 months down the road. I hope 6 months down the road I forgot about it again, you know, that I keep on remembering. And 2 Peter chapter 3, let's close with verses 10 through 14. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away and with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things. See that? Looking forward to these things. Be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. Are you looking for that? Are you ready? If the day of the Lord was to come today, where would you be? Would you be lost? Well, if you're lost, whose fault is it? It's not God's fault. It's not Jesus, the fault of Jesus, not the fault of the Holy Spirit. Well, it's that hypocrite that goes there. No. You can't blame it on someone else. If you're lost, whose fault is it? It's your fault. If you've turned away and not serving him like you should, whose fault is it? If the day of the Lord comes and the Lord tells me, depart, whose fault is it? Mine. Because I can be prepared. And I should be looking forward to that day with each day of life he gives me. And you should also, as we stand and as we sing.